said your prayer tonight. Lord, have your way. Amen. Well, God bless you. We've got a lot of young faces. Must be youth weekend. God bless you. It's good to have you here with us, sojourning. I trust you. It's had a wonderful time today, and then tonight, I'm just going to let the Lord have his way. Amen. I'm looking forward to a wonderful time. Let's sing number 2025. One of my favorites.
You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush, and you have heard of I'm have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. Well, I sin and learn at Jesus' feet. I am free, yes, free indeed. Well, it is joy unspeakable and full, glory full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable, full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful guilt of sin. Well, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace.
Ready to go to prayer, let's sing that little chorus. More of you, I've had it all, but what I need is more of you. Amen. Is that your prayer tonight? More of you. Yes, more of you. Oh, I've had it all, but what
hear my prayer for more of you. One last time, sing it again now. Oh, more of you. Yeah.
Sets, they're out of town. I just want to pray, Lord, will give them yearning mercies. And Sister Carrie Whitlock's father is in the ICU. The strokes, we want to remember Sister Carrie's father tonight. Remember Danny and Caitlin, Florian, as they're traveling. And also want to remember Sister Rachel Pritchard. She's just back's bothering her tonight, so I'm not able to be in church. So I know we've been praying for her, but let's just lift her up in prayer that the Lord would just touch her. Yes, Brother Joe Cockman, if you'd come. If you've got a need on your heart, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father.
Lord Jesus, how wonderful it is to just be here this afternoon, Lord, in your presence, Lord. We just come under a great expectation, Lord, that you're going to do great things, Lord Jesus. We ask now that you would just touch all these requests, Lord Jesus. You know each one, all those that were lifted up, Lord, and those that are spoken, Lord. Pray that you just touch Sister Tina, Lord Jesus, and then the back issues, Lord Jesus. Lord, be with every single one, Lord. I pray that you just be with the minister.
Yes.
Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Let them get it out of the way, Lord Jesus. Be with the rest of the song service, Lord Jesus. We just ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. We turn around and shake hands with one another as you're seated. May God bless you. It's really good to have you. If you're joining us online and not able to be here today, God bless you. We just trust you just feel his presence as we feel him here this evening. Amen. Bias, don't sit down. Come on up, buddy. As Brother Zion, if you would sing a song for us, why don't you come? Let's bless us.
Happy to be here with you all tonight. It's always a blessing to come and visit you guys. We were just at Brother Barry and Sister Becky's house for dinner, and she fed us real well, so I'm still a little full, so I might not sing the best I've ever sang in my life. But we're going to worship the Lord anyway. I haven't sang this one in a little while, but this is just the one I was feeling to sing, so I hope it'll be a blessing.
We've seen what you can do, home God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before in greater measure. You will do again, 'cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh, God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh, God of revival, you rose in victory, and now you're seated ever on the throne. So why should my heart fear what you've defeated? I will trust in you alone, 'cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh, God of revival, let hope arise. Is overcome. You've already won. Oh, God of revival. Oh, God of revival. Come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Oh, God of revival. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh, God of revival, let hope arise. Is overcome. You've already won. Oh, God of revival, come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Oh, God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it out. pour it out.
Amen. The same God. Amen. Believe in a God of revival. Amen. Yeah. Let's sing the same God. Change it up a little. 2791.
I look back on history, see the mighty God unveiled, proving over and over that his word can never fail. But I can't keep on dwelling on some past memory, 'cause he's the same God who's living in me. Oh, the same God who spoke to that woman at the well. Oh, he's the same God whose wonders to many to tell. Oh, the same God who parted the raging Red Sea. Oh, he's the same God who's living in me. Oh, the same God who created all the heavens and all the earth, came back living in Jesus, and there is power in his word. But now in these last days, I'm beginning to that he's the same God who's living in me.
Let's stand and sing it again.
Oh, the same God who spoke to that woman at the well. Oh, he's the same God whose wonders to many to tell. Oh, the same God who parted raging Red Sea. Oh, he's the same God who's living in me. Yes, the same God. The woman at the well. Oh, he's the same God whose wonders to many to tell. Oh, the same God who parted the raging Red Sea. He's the same God who's living in me.
Amen. As we get ready to turn the service to Brother Barry, as he would come, let's sing, We Are the Generation.
We are the generation. We're the culmination, the final voice the world will hear. Coming of the Lord is near, living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. Oh, we are the chosen generation. Yes, we are the generation.
generation, with a common nation, final voice the world will hear. Coming of the Lord is near, living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. Oh, we are the chosen generation.
Sing that one more time now.
Yes, we are the generation. We're the culmination, the final voice the world would hear. Coming of the Lord is near, living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. Oh,
yes,
we are chosen generation.
Shake somebody's hand close by and say, God bless you, pilgrim. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. You may be seated. Don't go hog wild. Good to have all of you here tonight. Appreciate all of you coming and being with us over this weekend. I felt, as I said last night around the fire, that I felt many months ago that it would be great for us to have a early fall meeting and to have these two brothers to come and speak, Brother Trevor and Brother Diggs, who are no strangers to us, and to come and minister to the folks here, and we are excited, and we have a lot of expectation, and we appreciate all the work that's gone into this so far. And you know, we often say that, but it's still true, and appreciate everybody helping and make it possible. We are going to have, that's the good thing about these meetings, we are going to have a Motel 6 free breakfast after service tonight. So everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. But think Motel 6, free breakfast in the lobby. That's what we're going to do. So it'll be a classic. There are videos that are made about that stuff, believe it or not. And so you're all welcome afterwards, just a fellowship. And then tomorrow we'll have two services at our normal times, 11 and 5. And then we'll have a snack after service. Now, You're not really born again unless you've had one of our snacks after service on a Sunday night. So we want you to be ready for that, and it'll be a great time of fellowship. So we appreciate all of you being here. And I want you to, as I said last night as well, I want you to enter in, seize the moment, get what God has for you, grab it, and take hold of it. Don't wait till another service, and don't wait till another day. When God speaks something that is true and strikes your heart, grab a hold of it and embrace it, because that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to minister to his people in a very special and very personal way, and so it's good for us to do that. So no one's going to do that for you. No one's going to take it and say, hey, that was for you, dummy, and bring it to you. Nobody's going to do that. So you need to reach out, and you need to be ready for what God has for us tonight here, and just have that expectation in your heart, and God's able to surprise us all. I believe that. We live in a time where I think no one needs to be convinced that, you know, it's the end of things, and there's a lot of radical, unusual things that are taking place, and it is, like Brother Branham said, the prophetic wheels grind slowly, but they do grind. And all of his words are fulfilled. All of the words of the promise for this last day are fulfilled and are being fulfilled. And we're living right in the middle of that. So we should be very thankful that God chose you to see the end of it all and be able to cross the finish line with the bride of Christ. So we are excited about the times that we live in. Let's stand to our feet again. Have we taken an offering? We've done that? We have not taken an offering. So let's have our deacons come, if you will. And we'll take an offering this evening. And then we'll sing. Brother Chris, if you would pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we're just thankful once again to be able to come to your house tonight. Lord, we ask you to be with this part of worship, and be with the word that's brought forth, Lord, just walk it out with us and draw us closer to your house.
Yes, Lord.
We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Sing it tonight. Brother Diggs needs no introduction, so we're just going to sing this and hand it off to him, and just trust that the Lord will just move him out of the way tonight. I said to the brothers, I relieve them of the pressure of feeling like they have to conform into some sort of expectation about the meeting. We just want God to have his way, that's all. And so we have absolutely no idea how this will unfold, but we're just believing that God's got something to say for us tonight, because I think there's a purpose in these meetings. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are
I bless. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church tonight. Amen. We're just thanking God for all his mercy and grace. I'm sure you guys have enjoyed yourself today. Nobody? Amen. You know, it's a youth meeting. So we're doing youthful things. Amen. So I know you guys had a good time, you know, fellowshipping amongst each other and enjoying the food and snacks. Right? Well, this is a tough crowd tonight, huh? Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, we're just glad to be here. We certainly appreciate the Lord and thank God for Brother Barry. Amen. He's always been a true blessing to me. Amen. And it's good to see Brother Trevor. You guys may not know this, but me and Trevor preached together probably 20 years ago down in Florida. Amen. And it was such a blessing. So I believe the Lord is going to do it again. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and we get right into the word of God. Amen. If you have a need, just lift your hands to the Lord. The Lord knows. Father God, we lift our hands to you, Lord. And what a blessed assurance it is to know that you're in control, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, it doesn't matter our age or where we come from or what we've done, but you're in control, Lord. In control of it all. Yes. Lord God, even the one you're using as the tool, the enemy, you're in control of him, Lord. So, Father, we just want to surrender to your will and your way. Father, that your purpose may be done in our lives, Lord. And we pray that you would search the hearts of your children tonight, Father God, and just let that real life unfold, Lord, into what you have it to be, Lord. And we give you the honor and glory and thanks in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 36. Ecclesiastes 36. Got a lot of scripture, but we're just going to try to find out where God wants to go, and we're just going to stick with that. Ezekiel 36. I'm sorry, amen. I'm glad my kids wasn't here. They never let me live that one down. All the way home. So, Dad, where's Ecclesiastes 36? Amen. Ezekiel 36. All right. Amen. Let's start at verse 26. And then we're going to go to Proverbs 23. Ezekiel 36 and 26, the Bible says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of you, out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Let's go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." May the Lord have blessed reading of his word. You can have your seats. Tonight, by the grace of God, I'm quite sure you can see just from some of the verses of scripture we just read that we're going to be talking about the heart. You know, but my title, if you need that, my title tonight is The Start of a True Conversion. Amen. And I know that we've as young people, we've heard about conversion and regeneration and all these things, you know, get the Holy Spirit and all that most of our lives. But I just kind of want to narrow in tonight the most important part of that. And it's your heart. You know, when we look at the scripture, the Bible said that God was going to take away the stony heart. So all of us were born with a stony heart. All of us were born in a condition where we wasn't per se at that moment in love with God. Amen. So God had to do something in us that we would fall in love with him. And it's like this, once you fall in love with something, once you give it your heart, it's hard to take it away from you. Hallelujah. You know, young brothers, if you don't mind, let's just say for a second, you get a brand new PS5. And you know, that thing come with the new, I don't know what games it come with, but let's just say it come with the new Madden or the new 2K or whatever, NBA. You know, you playing that game and you really, really loving it and having a good time and you got your own players, you know, that can do certain things and you just fall in love with that. You might as well say amen. Hallelujah. And you know, you playing and you get better and better and you go from board to board or stage to stage and your team is unbeatable. Let's just say your team is the Chicago Bulls. Say the Charlotte Hornets, but let's just say your team was the Bulls, and you know, and you had all the players and all these things, and you know that thing is becoming something dear to you. You don't even realize it. The more time you put in with it, the more you fall in love with it. Hallelujah. So love, hallelujah, is in action. Amen. And we want to see your conversion. It should be an action. But let's just say one day and you know, I'm talking to the boys, but girls, you're gonna have to imagine, amen. You know, let's just say one day you come home and your PS5 is sitting on the kitchen table with a hammer on top of it. And your mom or your dad say, look at here, if you don't clean up your room, I'm gonna smash your heart. I guarantee you would go in that room as fast as you can and clean that thing up like the Tasmanian devil. Yeah. Room will be spotless. Why? Because that's where your treasure is. That's where you spend your idle time. That's where you get joy. You know, that same feeling should be that feeling when you serve Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ, hallelujah, should get that same attention from your heart. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's not, you know, let me back up a little bit. Amen. You say, Brother Diggs, why the heart? Because that's a place the devil, hallelujah, he guesses. Right. When it comes to your heart, Satan doesn't know what's in your heart. Yeah. He's guessing and trying to figure out who you are. So he studies you by your actions, but he doesn't even know what's in your heart, even when you make mistakes. Good. Your mistakes doesn't even tell what's in your heart.
Come on.
Good. Hallelujah. Amen. So a conversion does not solely exist, hallelujah, in what you're thinking. Or what you're doing, hallelujah. But it's something, hallelujah, that's embedded in you that can't be taken away. Why did God choose the heart? Because Satan chose the mind. Because in your mind there's all kind of reasonings and all kind of things that take place. But once it get in your heart will settle it. I'm sure we've heard the story about the prophet of God when he lost his wife. He lost his brother, his father, and even his daughter within a span of time. And here comes the devil speaking truth to his mind. He says, hey, you just lost all these loved ones in a span of time. Do you want to serve a God like that? Hallelujah. Now, he didn't say something came from his head. He didn't say a great thought came. But he said, way down from the gable end of his soul, something said, yes, I'll serve a God like that. What was it, young people? It was a true conversion. See, when there's a true conversion, trials, tribulations, gossip, your peers, peer pressure, none of that stuff can change what God has done in your life. Hallelujah. So what we want, hallelujah, we don't want a stony heart. We want a heart of conversion, because it'll take, hallelujah, a clean heart for God to come and put his spirit inside of you. Because Because I can say it like this. You can get up and sing songs and sing like an angel without a conversion. And your heart not be in it. And I'm sure we've seen it. Some people get up and they'll do certain things and you'll be like, man, I thought they was a Christian. It wasn't in their heart. Hallelujah. But when we examine what the Bible and what God has said about the heart, it's very important for us to fall in love with God. Because when you fall in love with God, Satan is losing the battle. Or has lost the battle. Amen. Church, look, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I can say it even right now. You come to church, you know, where your treasures and where your deepest desires in your heart, that's really who you are. And that's why it's so important for us to have a conversion. Because we were born to hunger and thirst after the things of the world in that condition. But then God comes and he changes our heart and shows us what the thirst was really all about. The thirst wasn't about the things of the world. The thirst wasn't about the men's and the boyfriends and the girlfriends. No, hallelujah. God was trying to get us, hallelujah, to hunger and thirst after him. See, when God becomes the center of your heart, he becomes the center of your life. You know, they got some people, and I hope they don't mind. I'm going to go ahead and say this. You take Sister Becky and Sister Barry, and we'll look at Brother Barry and be like, oh, that's just Brother Barry. And Sister Becky's looking like, that's my boo. See, we don't see him like that, but he has her heart. See, so it doesn't matter how we look. And, you know, he know I'm always doing stuff like this, so I can do this. He told me, be yourself, hallelujah. And he also said, we don't know where it's going to go. Hallelujah. So, thank you, Brother Barry. But you think about it, hallelujah. We can look at something and say, I would never. But somebody else can look at it and say, that's just what I need. Because their heart is in it. And we have people in the world say, I don't want to be a Christian. Why would they want to be a Christian? Because they don't understand our heart has been changed. Hallelujah. I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for more of God. I can't live without him. I don't know what kind of person I would be if God wasn't in my heart. Hallelujah. But if you can't, I ain't going to be long tonight. Y'all know I'm about to close. Hallelujah. But you take anybody doing anything, if they ever apply it or do it with their heart in it, you get the best out of that person. Right. You think about a job or being on a team or whatever it is, or I'm going to just use some natural examples. You take a person who's maybe the coach of a team and his heart is not in it. He's not going to teach those kids how to win. Because his heart is not in it. He's just there for a paycheck. But if his heart is in it, hallelujah, on the bad days, he'll have a good pep talk. Yeah. On the bad days, he'll tell us, I hate to say the sorriest, but he'll tell the sorriest one on the team, you're the greatest. Because in his heart, he wants everybody to win. Yeah. Think about that, church. Yeah. No matter where you come from and what you've done, right, in God's heart, we're all winners. Yeah. Hallelujah. No matter what we've done and where we come from, when it comes to God and how he loves us, there was nothing strong enough to keep him from dying for you. Hallelujah. Church, but we look, Satan chose the head, God chose the heart. That's God's way. And you know, if we look in the Bible, we'll see example after example why God chose the heart. Hallelujah. Because the mind can be manipulated. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you ever felt hungry? Yes. About four of you. I guess the rest of us are hooked up to an IV. But can you imagine being hungry and then you have a thought and you say, man, if I don't get something to eat, I feel like I'm about to die. You are not about to die. But that's just how the mind thinks. The mind always manipulates the situation to make it be more than what it is. Hallelujah. But the heart takes it for what it is, for face value. Hallelujah. Do you love me or don't you love me? Hallelujah. Are we in love or are we not in love? The heart, hallelujah, is very frank, hallelujah, with its decision. But the mind can be a hypocrite. Woo! Oh, my. Look, as you think in your heart, whatever you may be thinking right now, hallelujah. Man, I can't wait to get out of here and get some of that good old breakfast. Right now, you got Fruit Loops on your heart. Right now, you got I don't know if they still sell those, but let's just say a chocolate chip muffin on your heart. Some juice, some chips. If that means more than the word of God. But what happens a lot of times, we put substitutes in the places of our real love. And all God wants is for every individual to fall in love with him. Because he's not going to make you do anything. He wants a full surrender. Amen. There's another scripture I love. Let's talk for the heart. Now, we didn't deal with the boys with the PS5. Let's get the girls for a second. Hallelujah. Y'all know I'm your brother. But when you think about the heart, normally the girls, or let's say young ladies, will put the heart in the emotional place. Oh, he just loves me. I don't know if I can live without him. Make the heart all about emotions. When it's not all about emotion, it's real substance. Hallelujah. But what happens in those times when you think about the heart and how it can easily be manipulated? Hallelujah. There's a story in the Bible of a man named Samson. Hallelujah. Where the prophet of God says, he gave his strength to God, but his heart to Delilah. He gave his heart to no love instead of God's way. And the right way was presented to him, but he was so infatuated with the emotions of love and lust, he couldn't even see that that woman was trying to kill him. That's why you ought not to follow your heart if it's not converted. We said, we hear young people say, young ladies say, well, I'm just in love with him. I'm just following my heart. Don't follow your heart if it's not converted. There's scripture for that. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, the heart, listen to me good now, and you can even write these scriptures down. Go back and read it for yourself. Because it's very important, hallelujah, to be driven the right way in your heart. Yes. Hallelujah. Think about it. There's a lot of people get inspired and do wrong things, and they say, I'm just following my heart. The Bible says, Jeremiah 17, chapter verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Ooh, Jesus Christ. The very thing that God wants, he says in his word, is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hallelujah. So in that condition, you shouldn't follow your heart. Because your heart will lead you into the wrong things unless there is a true conversion. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important to give your heart to God. Hallelujah. And once you give your heart to God, God can change it. Hallelujah. That way it's not deceitful and desperately wicked anymore. Hallelujah. But now your heart can be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Church, listen. The Bible also says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some of us got some great treasures, but they're not according to God's plan. Now, what are we going to do about these things? Hallelujah. You know, in the scripture, let's go back to Samson. And the story of Samson blows me away. But before we get to Samson, let's talk about David. Why did God choose David? Because of his heart.
That's right.
Yeah. He didn't choose him because one day he was going to kill Goliath. One day he was going to be such a great, mighty warrior. No, from the first day God chose him, it was because of his heart. Before he had went to any battle, before he had did anything wrong, God chose David for that one thing, his heart. He said, hallelujah. Now look at the difference between him and Saul, a true conversion. Now Saul was head and shoulders above everybody. Saul, hallelujah, was also the head of the army. Hallelujah. Saul also was a gifted man. But he had all of that, but he didn't have the right kind of heart.
Amen.
Isn't that something? You can be gifted. You can be anointed. You can sing songs. You can speak in tongues, do all those things, and your heart not be in it. And Saul, hallelujah, being chosen by the people to be led, hallelujah, he did just enough to get by. He listened to the prophet just enough to get by. And he'd do so much until what was really in his heart began to take over. They said, go down and kill all, kill Agag, kill Amalekite, kill everything. Saul went down there. He said, okay, I got the orders. Let's go down and kill everything. But as he was killing some stuff, he saw some stuff that looked nice. He said, you know what? I heard what God said, but I think I'm going to keep this. See, now what's in his heart is taking over. He said, you know, I'm going to keep these sheep, or I'm going to keep this. And then his heart started to be deceitful. You know, the Bible says it's deceitful. What made it deceitful? He said, well, when I get addressed by this, I'm going to say it was the people. And it wasn't the people. The people didn't tell him to save Agag. The people didn't tell him to save these sheep and all these things. He did what was in his heart.
Amen.
Good. You know, we have a saying, hallelujah, and I'm sure you've heard the saying. You know, you have some friends who are associates, and when things come down to the where the rubber meets the road, they'll throw you under the bus. You know why? Because they really don't love you. Hallelujah. But if you got real, real friends, hallelujah, the ship will be going down and they'll stand right there with you. Why? Because that's real love. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of conversion God wants in the house of God. No matter what things may look like in the world, no matter who's going this way or that way, stand with God. Hallelujah. But we look at David and we look at Saul. Saul was a man of many talents and many gifts and different things, and he was head and shoulders was a giant and all that. He just didn't have the right kind of heart. Or should I say, a true conversion. Because there's scripture where he spoke to the prophet. Hallelujah. He was anointed by the same prophet. Came into the message, so to speak. Hallelujah. But he never entered into a real conversion. And then church, here comes David on the scene, being chosen by God because of his heart. And then when the brothers came to be anointed, God told, hallelujah, the prophet at that time, don't look at their stature. Don't look at none of their outside. We're judging us by the heart.
Yep.
Hallelujah. And what I love about David, David was an overcomer from day one.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Church, he had to overcome jealousy in his house.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He had to overcome loneliness.
Yeah.
You notice everybody was called to that meeting to be king but David. Forgive me, parents. Even his own father didn't believe he could be king. Can you imagine what that'll do to a young person? When you're supposed to be the Christian and they know you don't believe in them? Because you're looking at their mistakes or you're looking at what things could be, you don't know what's in their heart. Hallelujah. And that was Jesse. Jesse was the father, but he didn't know what was in David's heart. He didn't know in his house he had a young man, the youngest one in the house, who had the heart of a champion. Hallelujah. He may not have had the stature or the looks or all that stuff, but in his heart, he believed he could never be defeated. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. Hallelujah. He had a true conversion with God. He had true experiences with God. And it's those experiences that really, really, hallelujah, shapes your conversion to be something real. Hallelujah. And here comes David. All his brothers coming up looking to be anointed, and none of them get anointed. And the prophet has to say to Jesse, you got to have another son. He's like, yeah, I got one. He out there. I got one more. He said, well, go get him. Because I ain't leaving, because God told me there's a king in this house. His own father didn't believe he could be king. He didn't believe he could be king. But when David got there, hallelujah, something started to shake him. Something started to move in, hallelujah. Maybe you could be that one to get something to shake it. To get something to move in, hallelujah. Because it's what's in your heart. It's not your stature. It's not your looks. It's not your family. It's that God part in your heart. Hallelujah. It's that God part. You know, it was David's heart that started a revival in Israel. Everybody else was afraid. But because David had the heart of a champion, when he took Goliath down, he put everybody into a revival. Because it was in his heart. He wasn't faking. He wasn't faking. That's just who he was. And you don't have to be a Brother Diggs. You don't have to be a Brother Trevor. All you got to do is be what God made you to be. And that will be exactly what we need in the body. See, I'm satisfied, and I'm careful how I say this. I'm satisfied knowing that there'll never be another me. Because I got some ways, sometimes I go back and I think about what I did, and I be like, man, I did that in church. But that's just the way I'm built. That's just the way God made me in my heart. Hallelujah. There are some things about you that are irreplaceable. Yeah, right. There are some things about you that are incomparable. Hallelujah. Yeah. There are some things about you that God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. Hallelujah. All God wants is your heart. And when it's in your heart, when you're serving God from your heart, it's kind of easy. I shouldn't say easy, but there's a way to stay on track.
Yes, sir.
Because there's something on the inside moving. Let's get back to David. There was a time in his life where he did some things he shouldn't have did. Sure. Took another man's wife. Premeditated murder. I mean, it just wasn't looking good for David. But in that moment, God had already chosen because of his heart.
Yes, sir.
So God already knew every mistake he was going to make. Everything he was going to come up against.
Yes.
But God knew his heart could overcome it.
Amen.
Ow! God knew what he put inside of his heart could overcome every wrong he've ever done. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, hallelujah, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart.
Amen.
And there were moments in David's life where his actions condemned him. But what I love about David, he was so in love with God, he wouldn't let his mistakes make his heart tainted. But when he was confronted by his mistakes, because he really, 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 really loved God, he will say, I have sinned. And he didn't try to hide it. And then the prophet would come back. And he'd say, David, your sins have been forgiven. Do all that's in your heart. Woo! Who my. God would allow him to express himself. Because he knew, hallelujah, what was in David's heart.
Amen.
Even after his mistakes. Even after all his wrongs. God knew what was in his heart would keep him on the right path. That's what a real conversion does.
Yeah.
That's why we hear so much about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and different things and getting a real conversion. When you get that real conversion,
yeah,
something takes place in the inward man.
Yeah.
Right. Hallelujah. Amen. I can say I'm a man filled with the Holy Ghost, and I still have mind battles. But that doesn't change how I believe.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Good. Hallelujah. And we have quotes where the prophet will come and say, hallelujah, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head,
right,
but you can stop it from building a nest.
Yeah.
You can stop that thing from festering down into your heart,
right,
and becoming a root of bitterness.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. Look, if you don't mind, I just want to read something to you real quick. Listen to what the prophet of God says. He says, and this is the scripture. Scripture says, if our hearts condemn us, then we can't have faith. But if our hearts don't condemn us, then we have faith. We have confidence towards God. If you want to read that, found in St. John chapter 3, 21. I got the scripture. That's what he's saying going down. But then he says, but as long as you're doing things that's wrong, you can't have confidence towards God. So it's very simple, hallelujah. Your own heart will condemn you if God is there. I don't have to judge you. Nobody else will have to judge you. If you get a real conversion, what's in your heart will keep you on track. What's in your heart, hallelujah, will bring you to the state of repentance. What's in your heart will put you in prayer and cry out for God. When you really come into the place where God sits on the throne of your heart, he has full control.
Amen.
And that's what we want. We want God to have full control.
Yeah.
You know, like I said about Samson, he gave God all of his strength. He kept the Nazarite vow, but his heart belonged to Delilah.
Amen.
And every day, think about it, hallelujah, a heart that's given to the wrong thing. A blinded heart. Think about it. The strongest man on the earth at that time had a weak heart.
Right.
Samson, if you love me, you will tell me your secret. Samson, okay. Y'all know the different stuff he did. He tied my hair up, so forth. And she, go tie it up. Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. Samson, jump up. Put the gates on his shoulder, run up the hill. Now, I don't know about you, but the first time my girlfriend would have tried to kill me, it would have been over. I don't care how long she been in the message. She could have been on the ark. Seen Moses split the sea. First, you got one chance to try to kill me, it's over. I'm sorry. Your mom and dad ain't got to like me. It's over. But Samson, so blinded by his heart.
My.
The strength and everything. See, hallelujah. Church, let me say it like this. Your life is not a game.
Amen. Amen.
And even in this moment, Samson was having fun.
Yeah.
He was having fun with Delilah because he knew he had long hair. So his strength would always be there, but didn't realize his heart was getting weaker and weaker.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
Oh, my. Next time. Oh, Samson, if you love me. Those are some words you don't need to hear if you ain't married.
Yeah, right. Come on.
If a boy tell you, if you love me, you say, I don't. We ain't married.
All right.
That's what you need to tell him.
Why
would I be in love with you? You ain't did nothing to make me fall in love with you. It's that plain. Hallelujah. Now you can be, you can like his looks. You can like her looks. You can say, oh my, he's tall, dark, and handsome. A male Delilah. That's what he is. A male Delilah. Don't give your heart to the substance that your eyes enjoy.
Right. Yeah.
but make sure it's something that can match the desires of your heart. And you look, second time, Delilah, Samson, man, you love me, this and that, blah, blah, blah. He says, okay, tie me up with certain kind of ropes and all this stuff. She does it again. Now, I'm sorry, bro. If I got away the first time, and I forgave you, and I come back the second time, and you still try to kill me, somebody ain't dealing with a full deck. I think Samson was. I'm sorry, Samson, if you're watching this. But I think Samson was kind of. No, I know what it was. I know what it was. Samson had ADHD. He wasn't paying attention. He wasn't paying attention that his girlfriend kept trying to kill him. No, it was what's in his heart that was driving him. He was blinded by the lust in his heart. And what was in his heart was driving him to where he couldn't even see his girlfriend was trying to kill him. Be careful to what you give your heart to. And then she finally got him. What did she do? She used a perversion of something real. Love. She said, if you love me, Samson, why are you playing with me? Tell me the truth. And the Bible says that Samson was vexed and tired. And then he told her all of his secrets. He gave his heart to the wrong person. And this time, she didn't miss. Oh, my. My. Look at what happens when you follow in a blind heart. Look at what happens when there is no true conversion there. You can give certain parts of your life to God, but God wants your heart. What good is your singing if your heart is not in it? What good is you coming to church if your heart is not in it? And on when it comes to the things of Christ. We are doing ourselves a disservice if our hearts are not in it. Because when your heart get in it, no matter what the battle is, you can look at the devil and say, you know, I hate to use this expression, but you can look at the devil like somebody on drugs and you can say, I love that thing. I love it. It's in my system. And I ain't going to let it go till I get some more. And that's how we should feel about God. Even right now, if I can cut to it, I got probably one more story. Probably. And then we're going to get out of here. But let me say it like this. Just the way I'm built, a subject or a thought like this doesn't come to me unless somebody needs to have a real conversion. Unless somebody really needs to give God their heart. Come on. See, we know that the word of God doesn't go out void. Right. So tonight, this is not entertainment. Right. This is God sending out a cry saying, I want your heart. Amen. Now the thing is, will you respond to that? Will you give God your heart? Listen, I'm going to tell you a story. I want to read it first. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. And we're going to wind down with this. Everybody all right?
Amen. Ah, that was good. Time to close. Everybody speaking up. Praise the Lord.
Luke chapter 7. I love Luke chapter 7, and I also love John 4, the woman at the well. What I love about the woman at the well and Mary Magdalene right here, nobody knew what was in their heart but God. Their actions projected them to be something else. But God knew that there was something way down in their heart that was way greater than their circumstances. You take the woman at the well. Jesus said he must need go by that way. He purposely went that way. And what I love about it, he told his disciples, y'all go another way because y'all can't see what I see. You bunch of message believers. Don't follow me this time. Y'all go on that way. Because y'all going to be looking at the outside. I know what's in her heart.
All right.
All right.
Come on.
Hallelujah. So Jesus gets there and she, young people, don't be conditioned to disbelieve about yourself. She was conditioned to disbelieve about herself.
Yes,
Jesus came trying to talk to her. She said, hey, we ain't got no dealing. Segregation, me and you ain't supposed to be talking. I'm a dirty woman. I don't know. Me and you. See, she was conditioned to believe what people said about her. That had got down in her spirit. And she was believing what people were saying about her. And the only thing, oh, hallelujah. What could change in that? God started to speak the word. And as he spoke the word, it started to push back all that stuff and get right down to her heart. Hallelujah. That's why it's important to be in church hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. Because it's the word that will push past all the outside conditions. All the things that people have said. All the things you may have heard about yourself. It's the word that will bring out the true substance of who you are. Hallelujah. And she sat there. Jesus said, hey, you know, give me a drink. You know the story, all these things. And she like, I don't really want to fellowship with you. I got so much going on. And God just kept talking to her. And as he talked to her, revelation started to come out. She wasn't in church. So where was that coming from? It was in her heart. Hallelujah. It was in her heart. And it took a voice for her to come in contact with her heart. Hallelujah. And as the voice of God began to speak, not to her head, but to her heart, she started to see things a little different. She said, when Messiah comes, he's going to talk to us. He's going to do the Jesus. Said, I am he. Right there, he's bringing her into a true conversion. Despite what everybody else has said. But what I love about a true conversion, what God did right here, I believe it's in birth pains. Where the prophet of God said when he's talking to her, what he does is he shows her her sin just so he can deal with it. Hallelujah. So we ought to want to come to church and allow God to deal with what's in our heart. Because if he deal with it, that means he can get rid of it. Hallelujah. And that's what he did. He says, hallelujah, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have one. He said, you said right. You got five and the one you stand with ain't yours, but I'm the seventh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he dealt with all her past and everything else everybody may have said about her. But he said, hey, if you drink of me, I'll change your life. And all it took, maybe, just think about it. That conversation, hallelujah, maybe 15, 20 minutes changed 20 to 25 years of her life just like that. God can change your heart just like that. Woo! The word can find a resting place. Change your life just like that. Change your past just like that. Change all the bad things that happened to you just like that. Change what your friends said about you just like that. Change the abuse just like that. All it takes is spending a little time with Jesus. And the next thing you know, the Bible says she dropped her water pot. Running down into the city saying, come see a man who told me all things. What was the difference from the time she was at the well from the time she left? Something happened on the inside. Luke 7. Let's just read verse Let's start at verse 37. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Remember, you can't chew them snacks if you're sleepy. You gotta shake yourself. Verse 37. Luke 7 and 37. The Bible says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment." Now, I want you to look at her mindset. The Bible clearly says that she was a sinner. But this day, she woke up feeling a little different.
All right.
This day, she didn't, you know, in different terms, they called her a prostitute.
Yeah.
But this day, in her heart, she wanted to be more than a prostitute. And now she was going to go through the steps to express what was really in her heart. Hallelujah. So what she does, she finds out Jesus is going a certain place. Now you got to think about all this. She's been hearing about the Lord. She's been hearing about his reputation and how he saves and all these things. But now she's hearing that he's going to be somewhere close. Hallelujah. But she's saying to herself, "I know he forgives sin. I know he's a healer. He's open blinded eyes. Could it be that he could change my life?" That's her expectation. So what does she do? She's not going to come to God empty handed. Hallelujah. She's going to take something of her own substance. The least little thing she got, she tucks her money, her prostitution money. My, think about that. She took that money and went and bought an alabaster box full of ointment, precious oils. And she went to where Jesus was, not invited. Why? Because what was in her heart is coming out now. But everybody in the city is looking at her the same. But there's a conversion taking place right before their eyes. But it ain't on the outside, it's on the inside. Hallelujah. Everybody in that house still saw the same Mary. Hallelujah. But something was taking place on the inside of Mary. It was something true that was happening. It was her time. It was her moment. And she had time to worry about what people would think. She had to follow her heart. And now she comes, the Bible says she comes in the back. Not invited. Whew. Not invited. She comes in. And she, you can go back and read. Let me read this part right here. Let me finish it up. So behold, a woman, verse 37, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus set meat at the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head. See, the conversion is taking place right there. Hallelujah. But it was already in motion when she woke up that morning. And then she heard about Christ being somewhere. And she said, "You know what? I'm going to meet God. Because he's the only one that can change my heart." But what she had to do, she had to go through the halls of critics. To get off what was on her heart. So she get there, and everybody's looking at the prostitute. She comes in with this oil, weeping and crying, and immediately she falls down at his feet, hallelujah, not knowing that Jesus hadn't been taken care of.
Yeah. Right.
See, the things that they were supposed to do, it was on her heart,
which
is showing a true conversion.
Yeah,
right. Hallelujah. When you're truly converted, nobody got to tell you how to dress, how to act, what to do in church. It'll just come out of you. Hallelujah. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and poured the oil all on him and so forth. You know the story. And the critics are sitting there looking at him saying, if he knew who was touching him, he wouldn't let that kind of woman touch him. And Jesus perceiving their thoughts. Jesus said, "I came in your house. I didn't feel welcome. You know, y'all didn't wash my feet. Y'all didn't give me no snacks." Ain't even gave me no oatmeal pie. No little Debbie cake. Ain't gave me nothing. Jesus said, y'all ain't even tended to me. He said, but this woman, from the time she came in, she had stopped tending to me. What was it? It was in her heart to give Jesus acts of service. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit puts you into what? Service. Hallelujah. A real conversion of the heart. Hallelujah. When you come here, there's something about you. You just want to express back to God what he means to you. That's why we sing. That's why we worship. Because we want to express back to God. Hallelujah. How good he is. How blessed we are. Hallelujah. It's in our heart. Lord, let me give it back to you. But this woman, this day, she woke up, hallelujah, not feeling like a prostitute. But she had redemption in her heart. She had forgiveness in her heart. And the only one that could quench that was God himself. Yeah. Hallelujah. So her heart led her to the answer. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. And she gets there. She washes feet. You know, she tends to Jesus and so forth while the critics are talking their crazy talk, saying all these things. And Jesus says to her, daughter, your sins are forgiven. The very thing she was craving in her heart, God responded to her. What are you saying, Brother Diggs? If there's a question in your heart tonight, God can respond to it. Let it be something true. Don't be a person sitting in church all this time. And in your heart, you're saying, I can't wait till I get 18. When I get 18, I'm out of here. Deuces. You got a weak heart. But if your heart get converted, you'll know that there's nothing out there in the world. Look at your worldly friends, the ones who are unhappy, doing the things that they so-called can do because they're grown. Yeah. And Satan will try to fool you. Don't give your heart to those things. Yeah. Give it to God. Come, musicians, I'm closing. Come. This woman, from the time she got there, she didn't cease to give God attention. And while I love the type, well, she took the oil and she poured it on Christ and she used her hair to wash his feet. Yeah. What was she doing? She was giving God the glory because her glory was her hair. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. All of that was in her heart. She just needed an opportunity. And from that moment, she was changed forever. Forever. Never to go back to that lifestyle again. Change forever. Written in the Bible of a woman who anointed Christ's dirty feet in the midst of a bunch of church people. What if God is dealing with your heart tonight? However it may be, hallelujah. You don't owe me an explanation. You don't owe anybody an explanation. But what I challenge you to do is give God your heart. Don't give it to the church. Don't give it to the preacher. Give it to God. Because if you give it to God, there'll be a return on that. Hallelujah. Because he already gave you his heart. Hallelujah. All he wants is the same thing back in return. Hallelujah. Think about it, church. Amen. Let's pray. Before we pray, let's sing a little bit of this. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me, Lord, I give you my heart. My soul, I live for you, Lord, every Give you my heart. I give you my soul. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way in me. Is that your desire? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Lord Jesus, in this moment, Lord, only you know what's in each individual heart right now. Lord, we pray that you would use it unto your glory, Lord. Lord, you take away in this moment every form of condemnation, every lie told, every spirit of reasoning, every form of imagination, Lord, that'll work against us, Lord. Lord God, and you will place it in the right channel, in the channel of truth, in the channel of love and forgiveness. Lord God, to let each individual in here know that we belong to you, Lord. Lord, and there's no circumstance that we could come against that will ever stop you from loving us if we belong to you, Lord. Lord, just as you did with David, Lord, you chose him with all his mistakes. Lord, you chose Peter knowing he was going to lie, knowing he was going to, Lord God, deny that he was with you, knowing that he was going to try to chop someone's head off. Lord, you chose him in that condition because you knew that he was going to come into a real conversion. And here we are tonight, Lord, just wanting you to have full control of the service. Lord, we give ourselves away unto you. Lord, search us, Father. Make us fit for the visitation in this moment. Lord, like you did the woman at the well, push past all the doubt, all the things of her life up until that moment, and let the word find good ground. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and we pray the prayer of faith in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. In my heart. In my heart, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in my heart. In my heart, Lord. Say it with me, be glorified.
Be glorified today. All the way, I'm going all the way.
God is good to come down and speak to our hearts, you know that? Because he can speak to our flesh, and we can have somebody speak to our flesh, but that'll go as soon as you put your flesh in a different atmosphere, right? But when he speaks to your heart, that's a different thing.
Yes.
Change my heart, oh God.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. For you are the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Yeah.
Person in the Bible. And God did not have to wait till David grew old to know what was in his heart. He knew what was in his heart from the very beginning, because God created him a certain way. And it seemed like that David never needed to be forced to think about God, to sing about God, to enjoy the presence of God, to be fearless against his enemies. David never had to learn that. David never had to press himself into that. Somehow or another, because of the heart that he had that God had given him, God knew it would express itself in a way that would have full confidence in God. If I went around the room and took a toll, every one of you would say, "Oh yeah, that's me. That's me. I have a heart after God." And you know, what Brother Diggs said was really, really amazing. He said, because when the Holy Spirit really gets a hold of you, he puts you in service. And you never need to be told about your dress and about your hair and about makeup and about, you know, paying your tithes and things like that. Because all of those things really should come out of the heart, shouldn't they? They really should. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart. That's where it comes from, out of the abundance there. There's something in there that just wants to give itself expression. And you know what? Maybe this is just me, but I think when we get together in services like this, this is where that should overflow. This is where we should be, have the freedom and the liberty to be able to sing God's praises. And I think that's a wonderful thing when we're able to do that. Absolutely. God chose David because of his heart. God chose David because of his heart. I guess it would be our prayer then as we leave here tonight, that, Lord, give me a heart that loves you as much as David did. Yes. Give me that desire inside that I'd never need to be forced to conform and never need to be forced to follow your word. Yep. God chose David because of his heart. And I think when we come in here, Brother Branham often said to us, you know, you should come in and take a little time, prepare your heart. Because hearing God's word really is the main thing, right? It isn't about who's here and who's not here. It's about just hearing God's word. And I know that whenever God comes and whenever he opens his word, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We should think on that tonight. Think on that. I don't know, maybe I said too much about the Motel 6 breakfast that threw you off before service. I'm not really sure. But you know what's interesting about a Motel 6 breakfast is that there's nothing in it that's good for you, but everybody goes. So we're going to give you a little time to fellowship and be able to enjoy some time together this evening here. But tomorrow when you come, I think it'd be really good for all of us to say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming with an empty cup. And I want to hear from you. I just want you to make it personal and make it real. And Lord, just come close to me. I want to have that experience. I want to know that. I think that'd be a good thing for us to pray for tomorrow. And give him the whole day. Because we have a whole day to spend in his presence and with God's people. Give him the whole day. And just say, Lord, from the time I wake up till the time I lay my head back on this pillow, I give you the whole day. And I think that would be a worthy prayer on our part. The HBT choir is going to meet, I think, immediately after service here. So if you could hang around afterwards, we'll make sure there's still some more left for you out there. Amen. What were you playing?
Into my heart. Yes, into my heart.
Soul, reminding us, Lord, that we are what we are and we are where we are because you have chosen us, Lord. You have called us and you have elected us. And now we stand, Lord, in this place. And Father, we worship you in spirit and in truth, knowing, Lord, that every step ahead requires your leadership, Lord. And I pray that in every soul, every young people's mind, Lord, the realization would be that we need you and we are totally dependent upon you. We can't even count on another day, but Lord, we can count on your leadership to bring us to the right place. And Lord, may what we follow, may, Lord, it be checked by the scripture. May, Lord, it be checked by the word of the hour so that we can know, Lord, we're following you in a very deceptive time. Have your way, we pray. Bless our fellowship, bless our conversations, Lord. We commit each one into your hands, Lord. And I pray through these meetings that you would continue, Lord, to deal with hearts, I pray. Not just our minds, not just our literal understanding, Lord, but that you would dig deep and help us, Lord, to know the things you would have us to know. In Jesus Christ's lovely name we pray. Amen.
And amen. We're going to sing this not in trying but in trusting as we leave tonight. And the choir, if you don't mind sticking around for a little bit, right afterwards.
It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in running, but in resting.
trusting. It's not